This is Radharas Sudaniti, and we're discussing this Ati Sandra Kripaika Sindhu. Ati Sandra Kripaika Sindhu, that Kripa Sindhu? No, it's not a Kripa Sindhu. It's a Sandra Kripa. Oh, Radharani is merciful? Yeah, you can say. How merciful? Oh, an ocean of mercy. Acha. But more than that. Acha, more than an ocean. There's something bigger than an ocean. Yeah, there's a Sandra. Sandra Kripaika Sindhu. Sandra? Ocean is so vast. How do you concentrate an ocean? Imagine if you took the seven oceans, all the five oceans, whatever there are, seven oceans, and they're so vast and unlimited in depth, and you concentrated them all into one beautiful Kishori Gopi that's 14 years, 2 months, and 15 days old. That's the that means not only an ocean, but a concentrated ocean of mercy. So what happens when you concentrate the atom? What happens? It explodes and becomes an atom bomb. When they take the atom and they push it so much together, because there's called implosion and explosion. What goes up must come down. So when you push this far into, you know, because that's what these, that they're called atom crackers, these whole nuclear reactors. They throw the atoms together with such force that there's two atoms. They put them together so much that they go this way so much forcefully. Then they respond and go that way millions of times more forcefully. The two atoms go to, they force them together and then they go, atom bomb. Goodbye, Mumbai. Mumbai finished. So that means you take this whole ocean of Radharani's mercy and you all the possible mercy and you concentrate it this way. And that means it has the power, has atomic explosive power. Has atomic explosive power. It's become so concentrated that when Radharani, in other words, when you make an atom bomb, all that power is contained there. So when you drop it somewhere, massive devastation instantly. So when idea is the atomic, the concentrated atomic mercy of Radharani is so concentrated, if she wants to bestow her mercy on someone, she will explode everything. It's like the whole material existence, attachments, every allurements, everything will be destroyed instantaneously. She's an atom bomb of mercy. Ocean of extremely condensed, wholesome mercy. Ocean of very deep compassion. Radha is always showing her devotion, or showering her devotion, as it showering her devotees with a downpour of her mercy. If anyone lives in Vrindavan long enough, they'll understand week by week, month by month, year by year, how much they're getting wet, how much they're drowning in the ocean, the shower of Radharani's mercy. And people to live out, no one in India outside of Vrindavan can understand Brijvasis. No one. And no one outside of India can understand people that live in Vrindavan. Because people who live in Vrindavan, if someone's accepted to live in Vrindavan, Brajavas, to come here means that very soon they'll start experiencing. You go out in the rainy season, sometimes there's a drizzle, very light. Oh, is it raining? I don't know, especially here in Radhakund. You go out, what's that? Is it a bird? It is so light. It's so faint. We live here, we know. You know, like we said, the moon in Vrindavan is transcendental. It's not the moon you have in Moscow or Europe or anywhere. It's transcendental moon. The rain in Vrindavan is transcendental. Every element is transcendental. So Radharani has 25 qualities. So these various verses of Radharas Sudaniti Prabhupada Saraswati is glorifying her qualities and adding so many more, because 25 is only a summary of Radharani's unlimited qualities. The 25 are listed. But oftentimes, in describing additional qualities, Prabhupada Saraswati refers to the actual list of 25 qualities in Bhakti Vyasamrita Sindhu. So this particular one of Karuna Purna is Radharani's number 11th quality. Merciful, always very merciful, always full of mercy. And Karuna Purna. Karuna Mayi Radha Rani Ki. Radhika is always merciful, always full of mercy. We hopelessly fallen people in Kali Yuga have realized the mercy of Karunamayi Radha. How is that? We are fallen. We heard about Patita Jivan. We have actually, who are sitting here and others, so many, we've realized and received the mercy of Karunamayi Radha. We have received the mercy of Karunamayi Radha in the form of Patita Pavanavatar Gauranga Mahaprabhu Ki Jai. Rasaraj Sri Krishna Mahabhav Surupaini Radharani Gauranga Ki Jai. Because Krishna adopted the bhav and kanti, the loving moods and effulgent color of Radhika, when he appeared as Mahaprabhu, Mahaprabhu is so merciful that he does not consider anyone's qualification. Gauranga gives Krishna prema to one and all without making distinctions based on caste, creed, color, gender, or age. Gauranga's body, like Radharani's, is melting with compassion for the fallen conditioned souls in this dark age of Kali. Gauranga's body is melting with compassion for the Adam Jivas, the fallen Jivas. Well, who is Radharani's body melting with compassion for? Radharani's Karuna Purna, her 25th quality of being overflowing with compassion, is mostly expressed towards her Manjaris. Especially those sadhakas who have followed the path of Rag Marg with an aspiration to become Paliyadasis of Radharani. Finally, after so many births, they attain Boma Vrindavan, the Prakat Leela of Radha and Krishna. And then Radharani finds out who sometimes one Guru Sakhi, he engages his Manjari, his assistant Manjari, Manjari Shishya, so to speak, assistant moreover, practically equals. But there's always this parampara mood of serving in allegiance to the higher source. The highest source is Krishna, and Radharani serves in allegiance to Krishna. And Lalita serves in allegiance to Radha. And Rupa Manjari serves in allegiance to Lalita, like this. Allegiance and connection, always offering to the higher. This is how the thing works. So, sometimes Guru Manjari will ask, please go pick some nice flowers, bakul flowers and some jui flowers or whatever you can find. Make some bakul garland, just bakul. Because Radha and Krishna are waking up now, and soon Radharani will be redecorated and we'll dress her hair and we'll put some nice flowers in her bani. So you please collect those and make one garland. So then Manjari makes one garland and gives to Guru. And then Guru Manjari gives to his Guru Manjari. And then it goes to Lita or to Rupa Manjari. and then offer to Radharani. Radharani receive. Now this Manjari, Sadhana Siddha Manjari, has attained Bhoma Vrindavan and finally engaged in the service to Sakshat Seva of Radha, Radha Dasyam. But she has not been very intimately close to Radharani, because this is the situation. Everyone, she has her confidential servitors that are immediately around her. Radharani receives his garland, and then she sees it, and she said, "This is made very artistically, a very unique design. Who has made this?" And then the question is asked. And they said, "Oh, we got it from so-and-so, got it from so-and-so. I'm not sure. It's some came." So then some inquiry was made. And then they told Guru Manjari, "Who is, you sent up this garland?" I said, "Yes." I said, "Who has made this?" "Oh, one of my Manjari's here." Acha, Radharani wants to meet her. So then that Manjari got an opportunity to go into Kunj, and maybe more opportunities in the future, and meet Radharani. "This is so nice, garland. It's very nice. It's so beautifully designed. Who trained you for making?" "Oh, this is Vishakha Sakhi." Because so much training is there on that level also. "I'm very pleased. I'm very satisfied." So this is an example of Karuna Purna, of Radharani, so much compassion, that her compassion is most fully expressed towards her Manjaris, and especially the Sadhana Siddha Manjaris when they're entering the Leela. Karuna Mayi Radha Ki. Therefore, Rupa Goswami has glorified Mahaprabhu as Namo Mahavaranyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gorajvase Namaha. I offer my humble obeisances unto Sri Krishna Chaitanya, who is Krishna himself. Garanga is most munificent and charitably disposed because he is giving the rare gift of Krishna Prema. Gaur's nature and tattva is that he is Krishna himself, Krishnaya. His name, Nam, is Krishna Chaitanya. His form, Rupam, is golden Gaura. His quality, Guna, is Garanga is most magnanimous of all incarnations. His pastimes or leelas to distribute the highest love of God, Raja Prem, especially Manjari Bhav. It's very interesting. The Mahajans, they explain that they're, because the Prabhananda Saraswati is glorifying the qualities of Radharani in this verse 18 of Radharasunidhi by saying that she, because there are seven oceans in the universe, in other words, he wants to describe and glorify Radharani with such the highest possible comparisons. So if he just says, "Oh, Radharani's compassion is like this ocean, this universe, or it's like two her qualities are like two oceans or three oceans or whatever." But he says, "No, she's like all seven oceans, because there's seven oceans in the universe," which we've been discussing. So the Mahajans are saying this particular quality of Karuna represents the ocean of ghee. The previous one, what was the previous quality? Remember? Does anyone remember the previous quality? Vatsalya Sindur. What was that ocean compared to? That was yogurt. So now this next ocean is Lavanya Sindhu. I think this is the fourth ocean. Vaidagya Sindhu, ocean of clever expertise. Anurag Sindhu, ocean of single-minded extraordinary love. Vatsalya Sindhu, ocean of motherly affection. Kripa Sindhu, ocean of extremely condensed, wholesome mercy. And Lavanya Sindhu. Radharani is an ocean of ocean of graceful charms. I mean, Lavanya is the word Lavanya is translated to mean beauty or charm or charming beauty. An ocean of natural beauty. An ocean of beauty and luster. Because Lavanya, the word Lavanya, like you say, salt is called Lavan. Lavan is salt. I know, maybe Bengali or something. Salt. But the word, Lavan means salt in Bengali and other languages. So salt has a certain shininess to it. It has like a shiny, it's not flat, it's actually shiny salt. I mean, I don't mean the stuff you buy from the store. The crystal, salt is like a crystal. Like we have Ekadasi salt. You buy Ekadasi salt, think this is fine powder. But here in the village, you go to the store and you buy, what do you call it? Sabat or whatever you call it. Kacha. You buy this Ekadasi salt. There's Saindava Namak. And it's a rock from the mountains near Pakistan. Or actually, they were India. The Sindhu River was India, but now it's part of Pakistan. So those mountains are in Pakistan. The salt comes from there. And it's kind of, it's pinkish, and there's black salt, which is a purple. It's a crystal. You ever seen it? It looks like a piece of coal or something. Very, very shiny. And it's kind of, it's an interesting, Lavanya is a very interesting shine. Because it's a shine with some oil mixed in. It's like an oily shine. When you see this salt, like the black salt, it's shiny, but it seems like oily, at least to me. I get that impression. Yeah, pearls also called Lavanya. That inner glow that comes out, it's kind of like oil. I don't know, that's just my impression of trying to describe the indescribable. Ujjwala Nilamani Rupa Goswami says that, what does Lavanya mean? That soothing, most beautiful, and attractive radiance that emanates from each bodily limb, like the luster shining out from inside pearls, is called Lavanya. So many of us have probably never seen a good pearl. A lot of cheap pearls available. But a very costly pearl, it just, this nice, beautiful shine, soothing and attractive. So that's Lavanya. It's a soothing. I mean, you see something shiny. There's so many shiny objects in the world, but they don't necessarily create a soothing effect on the mind. Is the moon shining? It's shining. Does it create a soothing effect? Yeah. So pearls create a soothing effect. I would suppose pearls are also cooling since they come from the ocean. So it cools, if someone wears pearls, and it cools them down to some extent. Of course, they have the money to buy them. That's another thing. So her soothing, most beautiful radiance. It's a radiance which is attractive. What is it? Her body is glowing. I see some people, I'm just a poor, distant analogy. But you see some people have like oily skin, or not oily, but some nice skin, like nice. So they're complete, they're shining, or there's some effulgence coming from their body because it, the tej of their healthy condition, and also some, because that's the health is what's radiating through. So her body is just radiating with this Lavanya. Krishna's Kaviraj describes, and this is in CC, about this Lavanya, because this word is a very common word actually in Rasa Shastras, Lavanya, to describe the beauty of Radharani or even Krishna. Sri Krishna's eyes it's very interesting that when, imagine seeing a pearl or seeing something lustrous like a pearl, and that luster, that actual luster and radiance that comes out, it's attractive, it's soothing, and it's like, you feel like it's some nectar coming out. It's a nectar, a ray of nectar. It's like, it feels like, so that's what Krishna's Kaviraj says when Krishna sees Radharani's When Krishna's eyes, they become extremely thirsty to drink the nectar waves of Radharani's lavanya. That's also a comparison. When he gazes upon the supremely effulgent and soothing form of Radhika, Shyam becomes completely intoxicated with love's enchantment. Meanwhile, Radhika's kinkari means a servant, means the servants. Her tenderly protected, loving maidservants become intoxicated by seeing Krishna admiring their Swamini's lavanya. It's like, I'm happy to see that you're happy. That's rare in this world. So, someone, oh, you're happy. I don't feel. I wish I was happy. We see somebody happy, and that just increases our enviousness. Why are you happy? You should be miserable like me. Here, take some of my misery and calm down. Take some of my misery and cool down. What's your misery? Oh, this, that. Ooh, hi. So Krishna, he's supreme. When he gazes upon a supremely effulgent and soothing, effulgent and like the moon is effulgent and soothing. When we gaze upon the moon's effulgence, it's beautiful, it's attractive. And it, the result of that beauty that we're drinking through our eyes, and that our mind is appreciating that attractive, that glow that we're seeing, it's actually giving some soothing, some happiness in our heart. My mind feels cool and like this. So Krishna, when he sees just the effulgent form of Radhika, then is the burning passion, a desire in his mind is somewhat reduced and cooled down by the soothing moon-like rays emanating from the lavanya of Radharani's transcendental form. And then the effect of that tasting and that relishing of the nectar waves, then it increases his enchantment and enthusiasm and excitement to want to touch that form and embrace that form and dance with that form and be with that form, associate with Radhika. Similarly, we practicing devotees forget everything in this world by becoming intoxicated from worshipping the lotus feet of Lavanya Sindhu Radhika. We would pray for that intoxication. We would pray somehow in our practice or bhajan, we could be so absorbed in the service of Radharani Nam, Radharani Nam Smaran, Radharani Rup Smaran, Radharani Guna Smaran, Radharani Leela Smaran, that we would actually become intoxicated by perceiving the form of Radharani's beauty in our dhyan, in our meditation, as Krishna becomes intoxicated. Krishna is intoxicated by seeing Radharani's Lavanya Sindhu, and it fills him with amorous desire and enchantment. Oh, he becomes enhances his attraction and captivation. Oh, Radharani. So we are Krishna's part and parcels. Not that we're taking the place of Krishna, Ahangro Upasana, I am that person. But who is the object of his intoxication? Radhika. And what is intoxicating him? Her Lavanya Sindhu. As Krishna is intoxicated by the Lavanya Sindhu darshan of Radharani's beautiful divine form, we also want to become intoxicated by the Lavanya Sindhu of Radharani's beautiful divine form. When, oh, when will that day be ours? Kabe habe bolo se dinamar. Aparada guchi, shudanam ruchi. When will that day come? That day will come when all our aparads cease. then the Holy Name who's been looking at us, waiting for us to stop offending. Really? You finally stopped. I've been waiting so long. Nam Prabhu is sitting in our hearts. I came here to live here, but you're such a rascal fellow, making so many offenses. Anyway, I'll just sit back over here. Huh? What's up? Seva Parads? No. Vaishnava Parads? No. Jiva Parad? No. Guru Parad? No. Dhamma Parad? Dhamma Parad? No. What others? That's the last. Nama Parad. The name is taking account, so what are you talking about? Now, Sri Nam Prabhu, he says, his report card says 0000. Zero aparad. Zed aparad. It is clean. His chaito darpana marginum. His chit has become cleansed. Purified. He's blossoming with attachment. All right, I'll tell you. I'm going to give him Ruchi for the Holy Name today. And then Ruchi comes. As Krishna becomes intoxicated and forgets everything in this world by being attracted to the enchanting form of Radharani's Lavanya, if that, when she has so many aspects of her attraction, her shape, her fragrance, her voice, her move, way she moves and stands and behaves. And if she just, if Radharani just stands there, doesn't move her eyes or even closes her eyes, she's not making any facial expression. She's not speaking anything. She's not moving in the way she moves. She's just standing there. And Krishna sees. Because she may be standing, interacting with some sakhi, or engaged in something else. And Krishna's just seeing from a distance. Maybe Radharani doesn't even know that he's looking. It's not that eye to eye they're looking. And any, when anywhere Krishna catches a glimpse, because it's not when the lover is looking at the beloved that the beloved always knows it, is it? Sometimes beloved is looking at the lover, and lover is writing or busy, and beloved wants to see, oh, what is it like when my lover is doing this or that? So when Radharani is doing anything, not directly with Krishna or just moving here and there, and Krishna noticed her, he's with the coward boys, and he sees the sakis moving to the Yamuna to collect some water in their water pots. And he sees, oh, this he's surrounded by this glow, this tanda jyoti, this very cooling glow. What is that? What is that? Subhal, what is that? That's Radharani. Who do you think it is? No, that, not, okay, the Radharani. But there's some glow there. What are you talking about? So it's like this. So Krishna becomes intoxicated. The ocean of Radhika's pearl-like radiance, Lavanya Sindhu, is compared to the third cosmic ocean. I guess we had three so far comparisons. That her pearl-like soothing, attractive, beautiful radiance emanating from each one of her bodily parts, emanates from her face and her fingers and her hair and her body and everywhere it's coming. Not her hair so much, but you say the bodily parts, it's coming from inside out. Where does the radiance of a pearl come from? Outside in? It comes from the inside out. So that's compared to an ocean of what? What is, let's think now, putting logic together. What is the effect of Radharani's lavanya when Krishna sees it? He becomes intoxicated. Ocean of liquor. Why is Radharani's lavanya cinder compared to an ocean, one of the seven oceans in the universe, ocean of liquor? Because it thoroughly intoxicates the heart and mind of her Priyatam Shyam. Now the sixth one. Amrita Chabi Rupa Sindhu. She can't be, she's like, her form is Amrit and her Rupam, Rupa Sindhu. Like we say Krishna's form is Rupa Madhurya. But Radharani's form is Sindhu Madhurya. It's an ocean of sweetness because of all these different aspects and characteristics. So her form is Rupa Sindhu, Amrit Chabi, Chabi. Chabi, that word is there in that pranam prayers to Lord Chaitanya, which everyone knows so well. We sing it every day before we go on Harinam. Ananda Lila Maya Vigrahaya Hemava Divya Chavi Sundaraya Tasmai Maha Prema Rasa Pradaya Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste. Divya Chabi. Chabi, Chabi. Divya means transcendental, Chabi means radiance, effulgence. I believe so. So this is the same, it's interesting. That same word is used to glorify Gauranga by some Padakartha. I'm not sure the author of that. Is that, you know? Oh, Prabhananda Saraswati. On Chaitanya Chandramrita. So the same author who wrote this Glories of Radharani wrote a beautiful book about the glories of Gauranga, Chaitanya Chandramrita. So that means there's a lot there. So this glorification, the same word he's using to glorify Gauranga in that book as a pranam prayer. Divya Chavi. That he's, so now he's glorifying that Gauranga came as Radharani. Or that Radharani came as Gauranga. So now he's glorifying Radharani with the same word. Amrita Chabi. Amrita Chabi Rupa Sindhu. The ocean of nectarine effulgence of sheer beauty. Radha is the very form of glowing nectar. Radha possesses the deepest possible love for Krishna, and her divine form reveals the beauty and relish of this love to the utmost, and is expressed as her Mahabhav. So, Acharyas are saying that this quality of the ocean of her nectarine effulgence of sheer beauty is so much component of her expression of her intense Mahabhav love for Krishna. Although Shyam floods the world with a drop of his beauty, he himself drowns in the nectar ocean of Radha's sweet form. This idea of Shyam's beauty drowning the world with just a drop is contained and is described in Chaitanya Charitamrita. But here, Prabhupada Saraswati, he's describing in Radharasura Nidhi that although it, because he's trying to show the supreme beauty and attraction of Krishna versus the supreme beauty and attraction of Radha. And because he's Tungavidya Sakhi, then who will he favor? Radharani or Krishna? He will favor Radha. And in this description, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, it says that the beauty of Shyam Sundara Sundari Rupam can, it's so beautiful that he can flood and drown the entire world with a drop. So he's saying that one drop of Shyam's beauty can drown the entire world, Krishna's Kavraj says. But then he says, however, Radharani's Amrita Chabi Rupa Sindhu, her form, the ocean of Radharani's form is so intensely, effulgently beautiful and full of nectar that her form can drown Krishna. Shamsundar. So what is, so he whose beauty, he, Krishna's beauty, one drop of Krishna's beauty, if someone, if he distributes it and we receive it, his beauty is so unlimited, he can drown the entire world with one drop. So that person has the power to drown the whole world. How, where will he be able to drown? The idea is his beauty is so vast and so unlimited that he can drown the world. So that means he has a lot of beauty. That means he really has a lot of beauty and attractiveness. So where will he be able to drown? Because he can't drown in his own drop. So he can drown in the ocean of Radharani. All that ocean, that one drop of Krishna's beauty which drowns the whole world, he drowns in the ocean of Radharani's beauty. Radha Rani ki. So that, by that he's saying that Radharani's beauty is thousand, thousand, thousand times more than Krishna. That's called Bhav Drishti. Bhav Vichar. That's a consideration of his Bhav. But if you ask Krishna this question, what will he say? You might say, oh, that's one Acharya Mahajan's viewpoint, Prabodhananda Saraswati in Radharas Tudaniti. So if you ask Krishna, some Acharyas are saying that Radharani's beauty is thousands and thousands of times more than yours. Is this true? Is this correct? What will Krishna say? He'll say, yes, but actually that Acharya is underestimating the extent of Radharani's unlimited Amrita Chavi Rupa Sindhu. Radharani's form, her rupam, is compared to a sindhu, sindhu rupam, like an ocean. Because Radharani's beautiful form is so sweet, it's compared, we're comparing her, her, Radharani's form is compared to seven oceans. There are seven oceans in this universe, salt water and yogurt and milk and liquor or wine. These oceans, so her, each of her unique qualities of her body, her attractiveness, her cleverness, her expertise, her talents, her artistic ability, is compared to a different ocean. So what is this ocean of Radharani's Amrita Chavi Rupa Sindhu, the ocean of nectar effulgence of Radharani's sheer beauty? What is that compared to? It's nectar, it's so sweet. It must be an ocean of sugar cane. Somewhere out there is an ocean of sugar cane. So now, what is the Adi Atmika Vichar? Adi Atmika Vichar. How do we, well, how does this verse, which is all about the glories of Radharani, does it have any application or connection or benefit to us? So we're hearing all these extraordinary things, the Vaidagya Sindhu, the ocean of her clever expertise, the Anurag Rasaika Sindhu, Anurag Rasa Eka Sindhu. She's one single unlimited ocean of extraordinary Anurag Ras Prema. Vatsalya Sindhu, that Radharani has unlimited motherly affection, like a mother for her devotees. Especially her mandris. She treats them like her daughters. They're her sakis. They're her sakis. Saki means friend. The mandris are sakis. There's five types of sakis. The mandris are pran saki, nitya saki. So they're the bosom friends, the dearest girlfriends, the prayasis and dearest ones of Radha. The kinkaris, Radha's kinkaris, maid servants. But she treats them. She has the mandris feel that she's our sakhi, but she's like our mother. She feeds us. She gives her our mahaprasad. The mandris eat mahaprasad. Krishna takes it. Radharani cooks and Krishna eats it. It becomes mahaprasad. Then Krishna gives to Radharani. Radharani eats the mahaprasad and it becomes Sri Radha Maha Mahaprasadi. Yes? Yes. So the mother wants to feed the child. Oh, here, take some Mahamaprasadi, remnants of Krishna. And sometimes the mother, she chastises the child. Hey, Manjari, why are you late? Whatever, she may chastise, like a mother. And then Radharani protects her maidservants, like a mother protects her child from danger or calamity. So she protects her maidservants from danger. What is the biggest danger a Manjari faces in her life? The biggest danger that a Manjari faces in her life is a big black snake. Who is that big black snake? Thank you. You're right. They say that words from the mouth of a child are always correct. Kaliya Krishna. He, the Manjari, is very, very Mahavaya. I'm very, very afraid of this person that stands like this and looks like this. And why are they afraid? Because sometimes they're carrying some flowers. A basket of flowers to get the Radharani. Hey, Manjari! Hey! Let go! And Krishna holds on their arm and says, no, who are those flowers for anyway? Not you. They're for my garden. No, they're for Swamini. Ha! Let's see what you do now. And starts pulling her chunari. Radha! 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 Oh, Pyariju! Bachao! Bachao! Save me! So Radharani comes, hey! You brute! Let go of her! Who do you think you are? This is my Manjari. Radharani goes like this. Puts her arm around the Manjari. This is my Manjari. Kamala Manjari. Why are you accosting her and trying to grab her? You're a rake, you lumpat. Dort. And then Manjari's like, and she looks at, the Manjari looks at Shyam with her eyes and says, that'll teach you to touch me. You'll never touch me again. And then Krishna looks at her like, oh yeah? Krishna looks back at the Manjari and says, oh yeah? Wait till she's not here. So Radharani protects her, so she's Vatsalya. She's like a mother. So she's a Vatsalya Sindhu. And she's Kripa Sindhu. Kripa Mayi Radharani Ki Jai. Lavanya Sindhu. She's an ocean of extremely condensed, wholesome mercy. Kripa Sindhu. Lavanya Sindhu, she's an ocean of graceful charms and all attractive radiance and beauty, which totally intoxicates Krishna. And she's a Rupa Sindhu, the very form of nectar, bliss, nectar, bliss. May this Sri Radhika be manifest in my heart. Sri Radhika spora tu me riddhi keli sindhu. There's the Adibodhika vichar. Adidhaivaka vichar, three levels of understanding the verses and pastimes. One level is Krishna with his loving devotees and the prem ras exchange. The Adidhaivaka, Daiva, Deva, transcendental, Divya, Divya. Then the other is Adibodhika. What are the elements? What are the elements of ras? What is the vibhav, the anubhav, vyavachari bhav? What is the setting? What is the place? The moon, all the, Bhotika means bhutam, elements. And what's actually going on? The setting, the place, the time, who's there, that's that. That's one level of understanding. The history. Oh, this verse was spoken by so-and-so, and why did Arjuna ask this question? And this is some of the elements, the components of the elements and components of the story. Then adiatmika vichar means atma, me. What is it? Jagan Mana? What is it? See the world? Atmanam Manyate Jagat. Atmanam Manyate Jagat. we see the Jagat, Man Jagat. We consider Atmanam Manyate Jagat. We think of this universe in terms of me. It's a me world, a me-centered world. So how does this Leela, pastime exchange of Gauranga and his Parishads, or Radha and Krishna and their gopis, how does it apply to me? Does it have any meaning for me? Have any direction for me? Any teaching for me? This is called Adi Atmika Vichara. Vichara means consideration, thinking about, examining, understanding. Atma, me. What's the answer? We're hearing all these beautiful descriptions, which we reviewed a little bit for a few moments here. And the beautiful form of Radharani. This is all her guna mahima, the glories of her beautiful form. What does it do? What is the effect? What is the benefit? What do we get? Okay, I read it. Okay, that's nice. That's way beyond me. Okay, nice. Bye. Good night. What do we get out of it? What benefit? What transformation? What happens to us? By this hearing, the Shravanam process, this Leela Shravanam, Guna Shravanam, Radha Krishna Guna Shravanam, Leela Shravanam, it creates in our consciousness, our chitta, deep sanskaras, deep bhakti sanskaras. It's not that there's nothing in these books for me. These books are too high for me. These books are too deep for me. They're too high for me. Oh, they're so deep. They're so vast. They're not for me. But these are Gaudiya Vaishnav Shastras. We are Gaudiya Vaishnavas. With Guru's blessings and Guru's sanction, then we read these high books and deep books as an observer, as one is approaching a Shastra with gratitude, with appreciation, with humility, with submission, with surrender and begging. It's very high and it's very deep and it's very vast. But I like it. I like it. I'm attracted. So we simply read as a passive observer. The Krishna book is very deep and very high and very vast. But we read it. It's a Rasa Shastra. Parama. Parama Rasa Shastra. Param, param, param. Highest, highest, highest Rasa Shastra. Krishna book. Dasama Skanda, 10th canto of Bhagavat. We read it. And there's commentaries by the Rasik Vaishnava, Srila Prabhupada, Rasik Vaishnava, Vishnath Chakravarti Thakur, Rasik Vaishnava, Sanatana Goswami, Rasik Vaishnava. They're there. So we're associating with Rasik Vaishnavas, and by all that reading, it creates the higher, the deeper, the more deep the bhakti, the Shastras are in bhakti, and the higher the bhakti is, the deeper and higher bhakti sanskaras are created in the heart. Very deep impression into the heart. And the chitta. Because now our chitta, our consciousness is full of calm, crowed, low, moha, matsarya, lust, anger, greed, envy, fear, anxiety, tension, desire. And we have thousands and thousands of samskaras stored there. Samskaras, tendencies, proclivities. Deep-rooted proclivities and inclinations to do the wrong thing, to engage in sense gratification. Enjoy the body and senses. That's embedded in our chitta. So when bhakti, when we hear these high topics and these rasa shastras, then that's like some powerful, goes in powerfully deep into the consciousness. The more we expose, then all these bhakti sanskaras. So there's all these weeds growing in the garden, and all of a sudden you put in one rose plant. Boing. This is garden. And there's all weeds and junk grass, this, that, all ugly things. So look at all these weeds over here. It should make something beautiful here. It's a very nice analogy, actually. Very nice. All these weeds here, all this useless dandelion, this, that. Of course, there's herbs and medicine. Okay, that's another thing. In terms of fragrant flowers, fragrant flowers and sweet smells and this and that. For Takuji's purpose, he doesn't need medicinal roots. He doesn't need, Krishna doesn't need Dasamal Asafa or Dasamal Arista. He's healthy. So then in the middle of that vast jungle and garden of all weeds, you dig a little hole, you dig a little hole in that garden and you put a rose plant. It's a very nice analogy. Very nice. Now that rose plant, what does it do? It starts to give off a fragrance of roses, and it gives off some color, and it gives off some design, has a design and shape. Weed is just like this. It's growing up like that and has leaves and beautiful color, yellow, pink. So this planting of the rose bush in the garden is the same as when you read it, Rasa Shastra, it plants a rose bush in the garden of our chitta. Chitta bagicha. So our chitta, our consciousness, is full of these weeds. The weeds are the material sanskaras, proclivities, tendencies. And from them comes vasana, desire, then action, so much entanglement. So when we put this rose flower, this rose plant, then it gives nice color to our consciousness. It gives nice fragrance to our consciousness. It gives nice shape to its consciousness. Just by being there, embedded in that earth. So this reading, these Rasa Shastras, Radharasa Sudaniti, Bhagavat Puran, Ujjala Nilamani, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Govinda Lilamrita, all these books from Gaudiya line, every time we read them, we're planting little rose bushes in our consciousness, right? A rose bush here. But now we have one rose bush. If we read itsy itsy beanie teeny little bit, we plant one rose bush. And there's 25 acres of weeds. You have a vast land. Kilometers. The consciousness is like 5-6 kilometers. Vast. All weeds. Useless things. Samskaras. Material samskaras. Then when you plant one rose tree there, not much effect. Look at all weeds everywhere. Your heart, there's somewhere in the middle of that weed field, there's a rose bush. But the more you read, you start putting rose bushes everywhere. Nice fragrance, nice color. And pretty soon people come out, hey, what happened? We had a field full of weeds. Stinkweed. We have one weed in America called stinkweed. It stinks, actually. So that all stinky weeds of desire and sanskaras. And then, after so much reading and deep absorption, and these Rasa Shastras of our Rasik Mahajanacharyas, Gaudiyacharyas, and then we say, oh, I want to show you that garden. Remember you came a few years ago? That 25 acres? Yeah, that was useless. That was a useless thing you had there. So no, come now. Oh, wow. Everywhere roses, everywhere beautiful color. Oh, it's intoxicating, so fragrant. What happened to the weeds? Well, what happened was I started planting one rose bush, and there's still so many weeds. As I planted more and more rose bushes, you know what happened? When they grew up, they blocked the sun. When the trees grew up, there was one rose bush here, one rose bush here. Then they grew up like this, and their leaves went that way and that way. They made a canopy. And all the little weeds on the surface of the earth, they didn't get any sunshine. They dried up and died. So when I plant so many rose bushes in my consciousness, then I will kill all the weeds, material samskaras, because they're not getting any light, any energy. They've been replaced and supplanted by the pure bhakti lata bijas of all these beautiful experiences of studying the bhakti shastra. Radharasura Nidhi Ki Jai.